of pause where you're rethinking how you have to be approaching these campaigns right now, or is it just we have to continue to fight harder?
I think it's a both and kind of a situation. Some things that were sort of on a downswing, like, you know, healthcare as an issue, are certainly all of a sudden like more relevant than they have been in a long time because of the attempts to repeal the ACA. And so the Affordable Care Act, which people are also calling Obamacare. So that feels, you know, so there have been some shifts. We know that public sector labor unions are some of the biggest threats to corporate control of our economy, of policymaking and everything like that. We thought we got, you know, in February of last year, we thought we got a little bit of breathing space against sort of the thing that would be the death knell for public sector unions. And we did, but now with this new administration, I think we're anticipating that the threats to people's rights to organize at work and are going to be really heightened and increased more than ever. I know that some of our national, federal level politicians think that LGBTQ rights is sort of secure, and but I think when you talk to LGBTQ advocates who've been through decades and decades of activism, I think we're very clear that whether the attack comes from the private sector or comes through a policy lens, LGBTQ rights will be one of the sectors that's really, really under attack. But we're also starting some community, we're participating in a lot of the organizing around community defense squads. We think that that's really important because people organized in their neighborhoods are the best means of community defense because you're close, right? And so that's one of the things that we'll be holding trainings for folks, in conjunction with a whole host of other people and groups in the city, on how to sort of form your community defense squad, or what we're calling a solidarity squad. So if we know that there's, you know, raids or other things, there will be a rapid response network to help protect the most vulnerable. And then we're also starting to do more workers' rights trainings. I think a lot of people don't know their rights at work. And I think that's one of the strongest ways that people can be organized is through that kind of, especially for folks, and, you know, as more jobs become low-wage jobs, like, people need to know their rights. Safety and health issues are some of the key things. We believe everybody should be able to go home at night to their family and not be injured at work. And so helping people understand their rights at work and then enforcing them is some of the ways that we're anticipating sort of adding to our programs and adding to our ideas about what needs to be done in this moment.
Hey, Dee, this is Kanan here.
In addition, I also do, you know, we do lots of fun organizing, community direct action trainings and other things. So hopefully those are some of the things that we're looking to do in 2017 and onwards. And we work a lot on racial justice with labor unions and really building that intersectional movement.
I've been like lurking in the shadows here. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. This isn't quite topical anymore because it happened over a month ago, but can you talk a little bit about your tradition, annual Scrooge of the Year party, and sort of how that kind of, it seems like it's kind of similar to the event that's coming up. It's sort of lighthearted, but it's also kind of points to very serious things that are going on, and it brings in multiple different campaigns and efforts that you're trying to kind of increase awareness of in a somewhat lighthearted way. Can you tell us who the Scrooges were of last year? And
sure.
Yeah, a little bit more about that.
Fantastic. So I think that's right. I think, you know, what's happening out there is really, really serious. And, you know, we think that having some space for creative resistance is a really important way, because we have other organizations in town that know how to do, you know, policy negotiation, that know how to... And so I think we try to provide added value to what's happening in our movements. And so, for instance, our Scrooge party, you know, depending on what you've been working on throughout the year, you often have someone who's been really, really difficult to work with, an organization or a boss. And so, people come together in a community space. It's a potluck event. People nominate their Scrooges of the year ahead of time, and then you have to do a skit, and then you can buy your votes. You know, true American capitalist democracy is that you can buy your votes. It's a dollar a vote. And then the candidate with the most votes at the end of the night wins, and they get a Scrooge delivery, which includes caroling or songs, a banner, and some other fun end of the year type season things. And then we do, and then we sometimes will do lump of coal deliveries for runners up who are really, really horrible. This year's Scrooges included the guy who advertises for, they just called it the Equitable Housing Pack, which is contrary to what it sounds like, a consortium of landlords and lobbyists who are against affordable housing, who are against rent control, who are against all of the things that would help stabilize the most vulnerable families in town, and who are not about housing as a human right, but all about housing as a profit generation mechanism. So that was one of the candidates. The other candidates were, someone at Metro who's been trying to union bust the people who represent our bus drivers and sort of remove benefits from our elders, who are the people who are on pensions, right? I just think that when you've worked your entire life for an organization serving the people in your community, but one of the most important things that you need to count on is your retirement. And so to change the rules of the game after someone is retired is absolutely one of the most inhumane things that you can do to someone. And these are the sweetest people I've met in Portland, some of them, the bus drivers and Metro drivers who are retired. So, you know, so he got a fun delivery at one of the board meetings of Metro. I'm trying to remember who else was in there. Oh, and then, you know, there's a guy in town who runs an organization called Zoom Care, and they provide basically health insurance to you when you're actually sick, and they don't accept Medicaid, Medicare, or TRICARE, which means that they don't accept the insurance of the most vulnerable people in our community, veterans, low-income people, people on fixed income. And so that's not healthcare. That's profiting from people's sickness, and that's just unacceptable for healthcare. So he got a delivery to one of his clinics, and I'm trying to remember who the fourth was. Oh, and then Burgerville.
Burgerville.
Yes, completely. And so, you know, we do. So those are the four Scrooges and lump of coal deliveries that we did at the end of the year. It makes for a really busy December, but it's also a really nice way to sort of close out the year.
Have you ever had a response from any of the Scrooges?
Yeah, we have gotten doors closed in our faces. We've gotten, you know, it's a lot of times. So the fun responses are when people are like, oh, we're getting an award, you know, and then we get to deliver the award. And it's sort of like, that's fun. It's also very lighthearted and very non-threatening. I understand that it's very confusing when, you know, sort of folks show up with a banner and they're singing in your lobby. But, you know, it's also sort of, we try to be fun and lighthearted, so, and respectful. So, you know, all of those things, and we're pushing the limits, you know. And so that's kind of the sweet spot of social change, especially when folks have not been trying to work with folks who are just asking for some basic, you know, human rights. So, yeah, we've had that. We've gotten, like, threatening lawyer letters and things like, you know, all the whole range of responses. We had people laugh and sort of understand that this is part of, you know, normal civic discourse, too.
You know, it sounds kind of interesting. I'm curious to see who's going to be this year's Scrooge.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun this year.
I'm sure there won't be a shortage of them. But getting back to the event, as we're kind of running out of time here in our last few minutes here, the event that's going, your Join the Resistance event that's going to be taking place this Friday, you said that from 6 to 7 is actually the time when families can show up?
There will be child care throughout the night. So you show up at 6, there will be kids' activities. And then from 7 on, it's child care, which also includes other activities. But from 6 to 7, you can sort of do activities with your kids downstairs.
Nice. And I just kind of had a question about that, you know, as somebody who's behind a lot of the organizing of these events that are going on around town, I see that a lot of the events are family friendly. And there is some criticism where people say, oh, you know, children don't have a place in activism. And so as an organization that is encouraging people to bring their children, I was just sort of wondering, what is the importance that you see in involving families?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, First Amendment free speech rights don't start when you become 14 or 18. The sooner that someone learns that they have these rights and they get to participate in the community events, I think that's really, really important. I think children and young people are a really important part of our community. And so, you know, the sooner, like, being able to share that sense of community that you get by being in public events together, all different kinds of public events, is a really part of an educational experience. As a child, it was transformative for me to be part of the Chinese community where I grew up, in the Northeast. And it was also really formative for me to be part of social movements and linked into like peace and justice movements through people who were activists. And that happened to me when I was in high school, and that has clearly transformed my life, right? And so the more that people can experience being part of a larger community and connected to something larger than themselves, that is family. That's building family, and that the community is just a larger extension of your family.
So for people who want to attend and learn more, how can they learn more about this? Is there a website?
There is a website. The website is jointheresistancepdx.org. There you will find links to, you can buy tickets in advance. So some of us don't carry cash around. So you can buy your tickets in advance. There's a link on the Facebook page there. You can make a donation if you can't come. And then you can also RSVP for childcare. They're all linked on the details in that site.
Okay, well, we are all out of time here, but thank you very much, Deepei Wu, Executive Director of Portland Jobs with Justice. Thank you for joining us on the phone. Their event is Join the Resistance this Friday. You can look forward to some music from KBOO's own DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid after you watch the afternoon's events. And their event, Join the Resistance, is happening at the Melody Ballroom at 615 Southeast Alder Street. It starts at 6 with doors opening at 6, and they're asking for donations from $5 to $25, although no one will be turned away. You can find out more at jointheresistancepdx.org. Deepei Wu, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kyle Koretsky, Tom Flynn, and Khalif Mosley. The producer is Laura Klinkner. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News and Oregon News Service. Our engineer is Aaron Yankee. The KBOO News and Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Charity Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2A2 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Jenny Yokoyama.
And I'm Kanan Schlesinger. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Paul Roland welcomes Rosa Clemente, co-founder of the National Hip Hop Convention and a leading scholar on Afro-Latinx identity. At 9, it's the Project Censored show and a look at the too close relationship between the CIA and the U.S. media. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, your daily news magazine. And at 11, the food show brings you Hunger Myths, Meat Addiction in Portland Women's Vodka Brand. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Jenna.
Hi, Kanan. Night, Aaron.
Night, Aaron.
Night. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st, after the Women's March, starting at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club in Portland. This 21 and over event features Jen O of Strange Babes, KBOO's DJ Anjali, and Casual Aztec, as well as performances and more. Again, that's Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club, 315 Southeast 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212.